Welcome to Kingdom Faith London podcast. We pray that as you listen to the Word of God, you will be built up, encouraged, inspired, that it will speak right into your situation as you listen.
It was a cry from his heart, Lord, I want to know you. A man who wrote half the New Testament, or a lot of the New Testament, Father, still cried out, I want to know you. Father, I want that to be a cry of my heart all the days of my life. And I pray that that will be on the lips of each and every one of us. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. So, Father, just take, like the five loaves and two small fish, what was given to you. And you brought multiplication. I just want to present my life to you in a fresh new way. But Father, I can be confident of this, that you will multiply what is given to you. If that's your desire as well, just say, Lord, I just give you my life. I'm not asking you to put words into you, but if that's what your desire is, Lord, I want to see my life multiplied. I want to see things happen. Have to give. And there's a story in the New Testament about a boy who had five loaves and two fish. They were given to God and they were multiplied and they then fed 5,000 people. I believe in these things because I believe in a God who can do these things. So Father, I give you my life in a fresh new way. I ask you to take it. And Father, I thank you that you're going to multiply what you are wanting to do in and through my life for your glory and for your purposes. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before you take a seat, look around. Say hello to a couple of people that you've not met before. Helena sends her greetings from Leicestershire. She is at a conference called Beyond the Streets, which is an event that's held every other year to do with prostitution and trafficking, sex trafficking and things like that, and modern day slavery. And she's been there at a weekend where they've been listening to some very key people who are involved in the charity sector to work in this particular field. And we just need to continue to pray, you know. There's Acts 21 is another great organization. And there's other organizations out there that are truly a blessing, where they're seeing fruit, they're seeing results. And I believe that God wants us to see results. I don't believe that he wants us just to come together in a place like this and not things happen. I believe God is amazing. I believe God is the same God today as he always has been. And he wants to do miracles amongst us today. I don't want to believe in a God who I read about in the book that happened 2,000 plus years ago. I want to see what God is going to do in the 21st century because I believe he's the same God. And there used to be a movement called the Acts 29 movement. And it's just the whole thing behind Acts 29 is this is now your story. This is your chapter that God wants you to begin to write because the Acts sometimes is known as the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And because it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit is very real. And for those people who do believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord, then the Holy Spirit has come and lived in you. Now you belong to him and to his purposes. And because you belong to him and his purposes, then actually we're handing our lives over to the Lord for him to then write chapter 29, chapter 30, chapter 31. I want to hear your stories at times, your adventures. Because God wants each and every one of us to have an adventure in God. The testimonies, the stories. Look what God has done. I'm excited.
Me too.
because I believe we're on the verge of something that is going to break out again in the church, and not just Kingdom Faith, but the church in both this nation and in Europe and wider afield, because I thank God that the nations come into London from all sorts of different countries. They come here for a number of years and sometimes they go back home. But they can carry what God does in this city right back to wherever they come from. It's exciting. Yes. I'm very excited. And I went to a leaders conference down in Horsham over the last couple of days, Monday through Wednesday. And we had a couple of words that were spoken over myself and Helen and my wife. And we believe that God speaks today in different ways through the scriptures. But we believe also that God can use each and every one of us to speak something from God over our lives. And we call that prophecy. It's words of knowledge, giving information that we didn't possess, but we then are saying something to somebody that says, wow, how did you know that? And I have many, many stories of having one-to-one times where I'm seeing somebody, God just drops a thought into my heart. I speak that out and they sort of, it's like open mouth. How did you know? God told us. Why? Because God's real. But one of the we had two words really that were spoken over us, and I just wanted to share it as our family. One of them, sometimes when you first hear the word, it's like, what? But the first word was from a gentleman called Andy Elms. Some of you will have heard of him. And he basically just said to us, Jonathan, Helena, you've bitten off more than you can chew. Jonathan, Helena, you've bitten off more than you can chew. But God knows. Yes. And that "but God knows" transforms everything. Yes. I'm, you know, I'm so pleased that I can't do this. I'm so pleased that I and my wife, Helena, have bitten off more than we can chew by moving from Sussex, which is quite nice and comfortable. It's a lovely little, lovely place. Great church. I was part of the fabric, really, of the work for many, many a year. But then when God told us to come to London, it was just like we had to cut off everything that had gone on before and take a massive step into our future. And I'm so pleased that I can't do this. I've bitten off more than I can chew, because that means that I've got to rely on God for absolutely everything as we move forward. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. And I believe that as your pastors, I believe that that is a great place, that you know your pastor is in that place where he can't do it. Yeah. One, that means you have to pray for me and Helena. But you know that I've got to trust in God every step of the way as we go on this journey together. Yes. So Helena and I, publicly, I'm speaking out, we've bitten off more than we can chew. But God knows. And that, for me, says, wow, what have you got in store for us? Yes. We're at the beginnings of something, I believe, significant. And I believe that's the word God's given me. It's significant. I'm not saying large, even though I believe that we are going to see increase, because for me, that's what this is about. It's about seeing God's kingdom extend and expand. It's seeing people coming into the kingdom of God. But I believe God's drawing a group of people together who believe this thing and believe the word of God, believe the power of prayer. And that's great, the way that Ruth led that through this morning, because that is going to be so significant as we move forward, that we understand that the name of Jesus is so powerful. And as we speak that name out, I believe we need to see things happen. Yes. I don't believe God wants us to use that name lightly. You know, so many of us pray, don't we, in the name of Jesus at the end of a prayer. But actually, what do we believe? And more importantly, what happens as a result of? Because if Jesus says in his name, and it's been endorsed by heaven itself, something should be happening. Yeah. The other, I've got a number of thoughts in my head at this moment, but you know, one of the things that God has been challenging me, God said a couple of things. If I step into the room, what should be happening? If God himself took a step into this room, what should be happening? I think there's a worship, an awe, respect, honor. I think it would bring conviction. All sorts of things I believe would be happening in different lives, in different situations, in different ways. But if God stepped into the room, things would be happening. And I believe that that's what God is actually promising us here. And many, many other churches around this city and this, you know, in this country, in Europe and beyond. But I believe God wants to step back into his church. And because he stepped back into his church, things begin to happen. Can you imagine if Jesus was, when Jesus was walking on the earth, whenever he stepped into a room, things changed. When he went with the Samaritan woman at the well, he wanted a drink. Can you give me a drink? A Jewish man asking a Samaritan woman for a drink was a no-no. But he broke all traditions of man in order to save not just a lady, but a whole town. Jesus stepped into a room and Peter's mother-in-law got up and started to cook. Some people said, is that the wisest thing he's ever done? But we understand what he means by that. You know, that God, when Jesus stepped into a room, things happened. When Jesus stepped into a room, prostitutes wanted to come and meet with him. All sorts of things happened when Jesus stepped into a room. And I believe God is saying, I'm stepping into the room here. And he actually wants to step into the room of your life too. And when God steps into the room of your life, you change. Things that are important to you at this moment in time, you ensure that, okay, God, is that important to you? And if it's important to you, then obviously there will be a transition. There will be a movement within that area. But if it's not important to God, then it's like, actually, I don't want it. I don't want anything that is not part of your plan and purpose for my life as we move forward. I said that was another prophetic word. And then the other prophetic word was to do with the prayer. And do you remember in the... none of you are probably old enough, looking around, none of you are probably old enough for this. But in London, there was what was known as the Blitz in the World War. And when the enemy aircraft came across, what happened was these spotlights came on, these giant spotlights came on to pick up what was happening, where the enemy was, so that they could then, instead of shooting blind, shoot with purpose to actually destroy the enemy's attacks. And again, in different cities around the world, around this country, in France and Germany, all of the same things were happening, that there were spotlights. And there was this gentleman who was from actually from Switzerland, and he heard Helena and I just share a little bit about Kingdom Faith London. And he said immediately... that we started to talk, something happened where he sort of said, wow, the words are going to be very powerfully heard across the city of London. And that's us. That's not just me and Helen. This is us. But the other thing that he was saying was to do with the spotlights. Said the enemy is going to try and come into our city. And please, this is not about our just Kingdom Faith London. But I do believe it's very important for Kingdom Faith London that we are a people who take these things and say, okay, God, what does this mean for me? Personally, because I think this is important personally, but also corporately. The enemy wants to come and attack. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's what it says in the Word of God. He wants to, in a sense, destroy you. He wants to destroy your relationships. He wants to destroy your life. He wants you to become ineffective. And an ineffective Christian is something and somebody that the enemy doesn't waste time on because he's done his job. But you see, one of this picture was not to be a negative. It was actually a very positive thing, because he's saying that, in a sense, the prayers that we have been praying are like that light that actually exposes what is taking place in the spiritual realm, those things that are trying to come and oppose and attack us. And as we pray individually, but also corporately, it's like the flash, those lights are picking up some of the enemy's activity. And the light then exposes that, so that actually can then be dealt with by God himself or by us praying into that particular situation. I thought that was great. And he was also saying that there's other things that are going to try and come and oppose us individually, but also corporately. But one of the things that I believe is an encouragement to each and every one of us, that our prayer is effective. Yes. And as we pray individually, as also corporately, it's like these spotlights are going and shining forth, exposing the works of the enemy. We have an enemy. We have an enemy. Sometimes that is something that, you know, Satan, which I believe does exist. It's sometimes his lies, his accusations. Sometimes it's my own choices too. It's what I want sometimes. And it's, I've got a scripture that God gave me a couple of days ago, and I find it quite funny, a scripture. It's Genesis 11. I'm going to read this because it is important to read the word of God. And it's regarding the Tower of Babel. It says, "Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastwards, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth.' But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other.' So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth." It's funny, isn't it? Funny scripture. Babel mean confused. It's if you look in the breakdown of the Babel, it's Babylon. But it's also understanding that it's confusion. And we know that God certainly brought a confusion with language at this point in time. But there's a couple of things that I think that are relevant for us today that I just want to pick out. You know that you've heard my heart. You've heard Helena's when Naomi preached last week. And that was a great message last week. Let Naomi preached up a storm. And, you know, I really encourage you that if you've not listened to that, go online, because that was great. And Nathan preached a great word a couple of weeks ago as well, about mountains and climbing up mountains and conquering them. And, you know, they're a great couple. So thank you. But please go online and listen to them. But one of the things that we've been saying on a regular basis is that God wants to build this church, and it's his church to build, not mine. I, along with each and every one of you, whether you're part of this church or not, all our job is to do is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit as he builds his church. And one of the things in the Tower of Babel, that before this particular period of time, they used stone, which was a natural element. They, at this time, because they began to stop thinking and processing, they said to each other in verse 3, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used bricks instead of stone and tar for mortar. So instead of using something natural, they started to use things that they could do themselves. There is so many things we can do for ourselves. You know, in this scripture, Jesus said, you know, God said, there's nothing impossible for them. If they get together, they work these things through a natural mind, natural abilities that God's given. There's nothing impossible for them. In Corinthians, it talks about the wise. That, you know, and the rich people, Jesus talked about the rich people finding it very difficult to come into the kingdom of God because in one sense they have it all. They think they have it all, but there is a space obviously called the soul that we believe belongs, and the spirit belongs to God. And we want our spirit man to be full of his Holy Spirit so that we're living his way, not our way. You know, Frank Sinatra sort of said, "I did it my way. And I'm not going to sing to you." I might do it at the big church day out when Jonathan is performing. But one of those things that, you know, we've got to understand that people can do it their way. And the Tower of Babel, for me, shows that man, when man tries to do it his way, I believe it will bring confusion, and I don't believe God wants to bring confusion. I believe God wants to bring clarity. But we've got to make sure that we're building with the tools that God gives to us. Now, obviously, this is concrete around here, which is a man-made material. And God can give people natural talents and natural abilities. But what I believe God is saying is, I need it in my hands, not yours. Because as it goes on, it's like, you know, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to heaven so that we may make a name for ourselves." I've got something that God spoke to me about other religions. If I can find it, it's amazing. It's all to do with this. This is my journal. I always keep it with me just in case God wants to share something with me. But I had something to do with this scripture and to do with other religions. That it's man, because it says, now I know this is on tape, but I'm going to say it anyway. It says, "Mohammed made God in his own image because he was not prepared to yield all to me. His pride and position went to his head. And from the truth that he had known, twisted it to his own ends. Of course, son, the enemy was involved in encouraging the deception. But it originally came from man's heart in wanting to have a religion that suits man." Now, I believe that that can be translated into many, many other sects, you know, in the sense of Mormons, JWs, a lot of these other groups of people, they started with people who actually were worshippers of God. If you look at the, you know, some of these organizations, other religions, that there was an essence of worshipping the same God as we did at the beginning, and then it got distorted, and it started going down a track and a pathway, which I believe the Tower of Babel actually indicates, that we want to make a name for ourselves. And because we allow pride to get in and different things to get in, it takes us away from the only true way that is God's way. I believe this. I mean, you know, obviously you can take that. This is what I believe God's speaking to me, but I found it very interesting the way that God put that to me, that it's with the pride of man that gets involved in something that God, because Mohammed actually you know, was somebody based around a church. And he then took it to, because he didn't like what was going on. And you can read this in history. Muhammad didn't like what was going on, and so he formed something else that was more to his liking. And because he drew a crowd, he must have been a very charismatic person. Because Muhammad was actually a real person. He was. And, you know, but you see, if we don't yield ourselves to God and to his purposes, then it's so easy to get distracted and confused within all of this area of religion. Mormons, the guy, JWs, the guys went to Bible college. And then from Bible college, they took some parts of what they were learning. And because they said, actually, I don't quite like this, they turned it around and they began to form something different. Again, they were trying to build and make a name for themselves. Now, speaking to them, I can't speak to Joseph Smith. I can speak to Jesus because he's very much alive. I can't speak to Muhammad because he's not around. He's not alive. Jesus is. Yeah. Buddha is not alive. But Jesus is. Yeah. But, you know, they twisted the truth. And I believe that this is so important for us today, that we're building on the foundation that is Jesus Christ. We're building on the foundation that is the name of Jesus. And we're allowing that and those truths to ensure that we're not going to the left or right, but we're staying true to what God wants to build. So we're not in confusion. We're in trust and faith that God is building his church just like he said he was going to. Yeah. You need to pray for leaders, not just in this church, all over this city, all over this country, that we will all be true to what God is saying so that we don't build an alternative church. We're not building something that is man-made, you know, bricks. But we're building on this foundation that is Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. The cornerstone, not corner brick. The cornerstone is something that is natural. But we're not making something that is fashioned by men. We're wanting something fashioned by God. And when God's in charge, I believe confusion becomes, it's like, you know, sometimes I wear glasses, as you can see, when, I do. When I read, now you're all blurred. Seriously, you're all blurred now with these glasses. But when I read, that's better. It becomes clear because these glasses are for reading. It's a purpose. But, you know, there's times when we can get confused. And in a sense, when I started to wear glasses, they, you know how when you have an eye test, they put something on one eye and they tell you, can you see that? Can you see that? And they're flicking different lenses up all the time because they want to see, ensure that there's clarity in what you're reading, whether it's long or short. I've actually got two pairs. I don't have these bifocals things because I've only been wearing glasses for about a year and a half, 2 years. This is my first pair of glasses. I can't see you now. But when you flick things through, they become clear. And sometimes it may be that this morning that you aren't seeing clearly in different ways. And when we put ourselves, okay, God, I'm giving you my life, and that's what we did at the beginning. Of this time, and Ruth, as she led it through, it was the name of Jesus. We want to know him more. Yeah. That was the prayer. That was the cry. That was the passage in John 17 that she was reading. I want to know him. I want to know who he is. I want to get to know him better, coming clearer. Because when we begin to understand how great our God is and we're seeing God in a greater way, then it just becomes, everything becomes sharper. in the way that we look at different things and situations. But there's something that is happening today, and God said to me, he's talked a lot about replacement. Now, there's a known something called replacement theology, which a lot of people just think very clearly it's to do with the church and their understanding about Israel. And, you know, a lot of people, a lot of churches in this country and other things saying that the church of has replaced Israel. So when you read about the promises of God to Israel, then you have to now say, no, it's not Israel anymore. It's finished with. They rejected Jesus, so it's now the church. That's what they call replacement theology. I don't believe that. I believe God still has a purpose for that nation. And we've got next week, we have a gentleman called Paul Calvert here. And we will be asking him to just share about 5-10 minutes of what he's doing in actually Bethlehem. He lives in Bethlehem and he has a ministry into that. He lives in Jerusalem, but he has a ministry in Bethlehem. And he'll come and share for 5-10 minutes next week. So please come for that. But I believe God's taken it beyond that for me, that replacement theology is anything that we have done that has substituted God's kingdom purposes, what it says in the Word of God, that we've replaced it with something else. We've substituted it for something less than God's best. We've replaced, we substituted. And I've looked on in the diary, it says the action or process of replacing someone or something. A person or thing that takes the place of another. The act of replacing. And God has been challenging me in any area of my life. Have I replaced the truth of God's word with something less than the truth of God's word? Now, I know that this is sometimes a very interesting thing. Healing. Healing of the body. Healing of the emotions. When I was driving in with my daughter today, a person's name came up of somebody who has got been stressed and therefore got a little bit of depression. And I have to look at what the truth says. What does the Bible say? It says, by the stripes of Jesus Christ, in Isaiah 53, I'm healed. Now, do I believe that? That's one question. And I've got to say, yes, I believe that. Because I believe that when it says something in the Bible, when God has said something in the Bible, then what God wants me to do is to believe that. But I could then replace that truth that Jesus Christ heals today with, but when I prayed for that person, they didn't get healed. When I prayed for that headache to go, that headache remained. And so I start to replace the truth with something from my own experience that is at times something less than the truth. I'm substituting the truth for my own experience. Provision. I believe that we're not talking about millions here, but I believe God says that He will supply all our needs according to His riches in glory. I believe that's a scripture. I've told you before that I at one point got myself into a real mess debt-wise. It wasn't huge, but I made some errors that got myself into a negative position. Now, I have to make a decision there. Do I believe the truth of what God has said, and therefore I'm clinging to that? But what I did in my situation was I tried to sort it out by what I did was I got 3 or 4 different credit cards and I kept moving the credit cards around for the zero balance period, but then I got myself into a real mess and ended up with a debt. Why? Because I tried to help God out in that particular situation and circumstance. Instead of hanging on to the truth, I replicated something of truth. I replaced it with something of my own experience, like I was making bricks, not basing everything on stone. The salvation of my friends. We as a church, we've got a list, and I've got a card in my Bible. And we can, if people want to get them, they're on the table. I can't find it now. But I've got a card in my Bible. There we are. So, praying for people. Praying. Who am I praying for? And I've got people's names on this card that I'm praying for. I'm praying that God will intervene in their lives and their situations. Now, I've got to say, okay, God, if you put your these people, you told me to pray for them, that means that you want something to happen. And because you're wanting something to happen in them, then I can't suddenly think, okay, my experience, because nothing's happening and I've been praying for them for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I can't suddenly say, God, your word is not true. Your word is true, it's secure, it's firm, but sometimes I can make bricks, I can interpret things, I can put things in a bracket, is I haven't seen that, therefore it can't be real. Now, which is right? Truth? Or something that I've replaced with something that is less than God's best, because I haven't seen it. See, that's where we've got to get back to the gospel. That when Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for me and for you, he took my sin, but he did more than that. He took me to the cross. In the Bible, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. That's the gospel. That I am a person who no longer lives. God lives in me. And so it also says in the gospels that every day I have to consider myself dead to myself and alive in God. Every day. And that's why every day I have to thank God that I'm saved. I thank God that it's his life that is working my life. And therefore, because that's the truth, according to the word of God, because it's the truth, I can live and I can stand on that truth and that reality. And when anything comes to say there's something different, even if it's my experience, or because something's not quite happened in the way I expect, truth is a standard that does not change. I've spoken as well here, and I have had the privilege of being on Revelation TV quite a lot recently. And one of the things that one of the programs we did was to do with fake news. And it's all over the papers and it's all over media at the moment about fake news. And we've got to be careful that our Christianity, our faith, is not something that is on fake or false, but it's based on truth. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, when you get fake news, it seems to be so close to the actual truth of it, but certain parts of that fake news is twisted. It's something that has been replaced. Something's replaced the truth with something which is subtle, but very close to it. God doesn't want us to base our lives on fake news. Something that's been replaced. A replacement theology to do with healing, finance, our life. Lots of people sort of saying, of course my life matters. Your life matters in Christ Jesus. Your purpose is in Christ Jesus, not your own. You've been brought with a Christ price. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were purchased with his blood on the cross. That's the price that he paid for you. So according to scripture, you do not belong to yourself. The gospel is you do not belong to yourself. You belong to him. He has ownership of you. And you see, sometimes when people become Christians, they don't understand that actually that means if you're Lord, you're not just Lord of part of my life. You're Lord over every area of my life. You're Lord over my job. You're Lord over my family. You're Lord over my relationship. You're Lord over my money. And that's a subject that a lot of people say, oh, don't talk about money. But you are Lord over, you know, all of these things. And because he's the Lord of it all, we've got to make sure we don't replace him in any area of our life. We don't substitute his lordship in our lives with something less, something fake. But we stick to the truth of who God is. That's why, you know, I said I believe God wants to step into the room, because I believe God wants a lot more to be happening. Not just here, but in his church. Yeah. Around this city, around this nation and beyond. Because I believe God is still the same God that I read about in here. I don't believe truth alters. The truth is I'm married to Helen and that doesn't change. It won't change. The truth is that one of my daughters is here. That's the truth. Even if she suddenly sort of said, oh, he's not my dad anymore. You know, that's the truth is the truth. It's not going to alter. I hope she won't say that. but you know, it is. It's the reality. Truth is truth. And we've got to be careful that we don't substitute with a replacement theology. We don't substitute it with the bricks and stones, but we allow our lives to be based on something more solid than brick. We are basing ourselves on our lives on the rock of our salvation, which is Jesus Christ. We don't build on any other thing apart from him. And Father, I just ask you that I do not begin to do something that is the I. That Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. I don't want to do it my way. And that's what the prophetic word was saying right at the beginning that I shared. You've bitten off more than you can chew. I praise God for that statement. I really do. Because at the end of the day, I know I can't. I cannot do this in of my own strength and ability. But with Christ, according to the Bible, and this is again making sure that you're basing your life on truth, there is nothing impossible for those who believe. See, that belief, that faith, is what God wants us to have in him, not our experience of him. Because sometimes our experience of him is less. It's been a substitute of the real thing. And my heart, my cry for my heart, for myself and for every single one of you and for those who are not here this morning, is that we are not going to be a group of people who are going to substitute the gospel of Jesus Christ with something that is fake, something that is false, something that we're substituting something with. But my prayer is that as a group of people, individually, but also corporately and the church corporately, that we begin to say, God, we need you to step into the room again, not only in church, but in our own lives. There's probably many situations that in you, your personal life, you're saying, God, I need you to be involved in that. But sometimes because we may have been walking in a direction that we have been trying to do it with bricks. We've tried to make the bricks. We've been trying to do it our way. I did it my way. See, I got it in there. But it is. So many people, of course I do it my way. No, you've got to do it God's way. Just close your eyes. You don't have to stand. Just close your eyes. Because time's up. But one of the things that I've learned personally is that repentance is something that is a positive thing, not a negative thing. And sometimes the first thing that we have to do when we understand actually, maybe I have been trying to build things with bricks instead of building and basing my life on the rock of who you are. So God, I'm sorry that, and if a particular area comes to your mind at this moment where, you know, maybe I replaced your lordship for something less in this particular area of my life, God, I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I repent and I want to turn around and come back into a place where you truly are Lord, not only in this area of my life, but in every area of my life. Figuratively, it's just like, Lord, I want you to step into my life in a fresh and new way. Because I want to see things happen and change that are not based on bricks and mortar, but are based on what you have said, the truth. And the other thing, you see, you have to then believe that when you say sorry to God, that actually you need to believe that he will do it. And all of these line up together, because sometimes even our belief is like, Lord, forgive me because I've not believed that I could be healed. I can't believe that you would provide for me. I can't believe that you would find a partner for me. I can't believe that you'll provide a home for me. I don't believe that you can provide friends. Well, this is where you've got, oh God, I'm so sorry because I've been trying to do it. I'm trying to build things around me that is bricks, not stone. And God, I want to come and bring back that reality of who you are right at the heart of everything in my life. So Father, I ask you that you will just bring about that change in my life, my heart. Not just in the areas that I'm challenged in at the moment, but in every area. And Father, Lord, I just ask you that in those areas where maybe I'm not believing in the way you want me to, as you step into that area of my life, as you step again into the room that is this temple, Father, I just ask you that if I'm blinded in any area of my life to thinking that I'm doing things that I'm not, shouldn't be doing. Father, I ask you, I welcome you to come and bring that conviction so that I can come into that place of repentance and belief. Because, Lord, I want to be a person who walks by faith, not by sight. Faith in you, the truth. I don't want to be walking by the sight of what I'm seeing around me and therefore bringing me into a place of despair. Just begin to, I'm saying words, but this is where you need to be praying along with me. Just quietly, but just, Lord, yeah, I want that too. But then bringing specific areas that you know are very real to you. Father, I come against any confusion that the enemy or my own activity has led me into a place where I'm not seeing right. God, I just ask you that you will just change the lens of my view so that I'm viewing you and you alone. And as the Bible says, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, who is the author of your life and the perfecter of your faith. God knows this is a journey. That's why he talks about sometimes athletes in training, running the race. He knows that this is a journey that each and every one of us is on. And every single one of us will mess up from time to time. And we can be so thankful that we have a Father who is there to forgive us and to pick us up and to get us back on the journey that he's planned and prepared for us. So Father, I just thank you that this week that we will allow you to step again in a fresh, new and powerful way into our lives and into our church. That we will be people who are basing our lives and the steps that we take on truth and reality. Not anything that is replacing you, substituting you as Lord in our lives. So Father, I ask you, Holy Spirit, that you will come and rest upon each and every one of us in a fresh and new way, enabling us to walk in the truth and the reality of who you are, without confusion, but full of hope in who you are. So Lord, I want to be a person who seeks you first in every area of my life. And I believe the promise that everything else that you have planned and purposed for my life will be then added. And I pray that over this church and other Bible-believing churches who acknowledge you as Lord and Saviour and declare you as Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit will fall upon those churches too. Because together, we want to see a standard raised again that is based on not what people say, but on what you say. A royal banner. And that we as believers in this city and beyond will gather around the banner that you raise up. The banner of truth and reality of who you are. So Father, I ask you that you'll bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Wow. We're gonna close in a minute, but I just wanted to, just by way of helping us really, as Jonathan was speaking, I was aware in my own life of, you know, an area that I need to bring under submission to the Lord, and that's a lot to do with what comes out of my mouth. Yeah. And what comes out of my mouth comes from my heart. So as I'm committing this to the Lord, I'm kind of thinking, but God, that's massive, because actually my tongue, what I say in the heat of a moment, comes from a much deeper place. So it's not just, oh, God, deal with my tongue. It's like a real deep, and I'm like, oh, Lord, how on earth are you going to do that? Because it's so deep, intrinsic. But, you know, he leads us on the way everlasting. He leads us in eternal life. He leads us. And again, that reminder of what's Jesus praying over us today? Lord, I want Ruth to be with me where I am and see my glory. Jesus is praying right now. I want them in Kingdom Faith London, each one of us. I want them, I want Ruth to be with me where I am and see my glory. And I have made the Father known to Ruth, and I'm going to continue to make the Father known to Ruth. So I can stand with a confidence Yes, Lord, there's this issue in my life that I need to come back and stand on the cornerstone of Christ, not on some other brick. I love that analogy of the corner. He's called our he's the cornerstone, and he's our rock that we stand on. He's no brick. I like it. And I want to come back and stand on the cornerstone of Christ, stand on the rock that is Jesus Christ, trust in the rock and not put my focus on some bricks. So we can have confidence that he is who he says he is, and he's working in us, and he's going to finish what he started, and he's leading us on the way everlasting. Praise God. Thank you.
We pray that the word today has really encouraged you, built you up, inspired you, spoken right into your situation. If you've got questions to anything that you've heard, or you'd like someone to talk to or to pray with you, then do contact us on our website, www.